Hello. Hello. Had some technical difficulties a while ago, but I'm going to try this again. Been studying with the Anderson Church, making some videos for our families to study, and our adult studies and some children's studies, young people studies. But this lesson today I thought would be good for both the adults and the children to study together, especially parents with their children. And this is a very familiar story. It's in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version today. And most of you will recognize that this is the section of Scripture that deals with Naaman the leper. So we're going to read the text, verses 1 through 14, and then we'll go back and make a few comments. And at the end, we'll look at some applications, some lessons for us to learn. And hopefully our parents will study these things with their children. And I think it'll be very helpful and beneficial. So let's read the story together, 2 Kings chapter 5, and we want to begin reading at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And it came about when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abna and Pharbahar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I think I'd go back now and make just a few brief comments. And let's notice in verse 1 that Naaman is indeed a great man. He's a captain of the Syrian army. He's highly respected. He's a valiant warrior. And notice in the text that the Lord had given victory to Syria by way of Naaman. That's the positive. And he was indeed a great man. But notice the text says that he was a leper. So parents, I would like you to take the time maybe to explain a little bit more in detail about leprosy. I'm just trying to make a few brief comments here to, as a study guide for you to talk to them and have your own family Bible study together. But indeed, leprosy was a skin disease, and it was quite serious. Notice in the second and third verse that there is this little Jewish girl. Now, she had been taken captive during a battle or a war between Syria and with Israel. But again, I bring to your attention the fact that the Lord had allowed Syria to have a victory. Now, the little Jewish girl, she served Naaman's wife. But I want you to notice that this little girl, how good a heart she had. She wished her master Naaman could be cleansed of his leprosy. Now, I don't know how old this girl was. I don't know if her parents were still living, if she even had any parents that were living. But this little girl, there's not a lot said about her, but yet there's a whole lot said about her. That she wanted her master cleansed. And she said, if my master could just go to Elisha the prophet in Samaria, then he could be cleansed. Well, we notice now in verses 4, 5, and 6 that Naaman tells the king of Syria what this little girl has said about the prophet in Samaria. So the king sends a letter to the king of Israel. And Naaman takes the letter to the king of Israel, and he takes with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold. Now, some value that to be, you know, $65,000, maybe $70,000, maybe in today's terms, maybe more than that. But he also takes along 10 changes of clothes. In verse 7, the king of Israel hears or reads the letter. The letter is read to him, and he understands what the king of Syria is asking, but he, the king of Israel, is really upset, and he tears his clothes, and he says, "Am I God that I can cure leprosy?" And what the king of Israel concludes is that the king of Syria is just trying to pick a fight with him, finding some excuse to go to war. Well, Elisha, the prophet, hears about this, about the king of Israel tearing his clothes. And in verse 8, we find here that Elisha wants to know why the king has torn his clothes. He simply tells the king, he says, "Tell Naaman to come and see me." And then Elisha says, "Then he will know," that is Naaman, and plus the king of Syria as well, would certainly know that there was a prophet of God in Israel. So Naaman gets the word. He goes to see the prophet, verses 9 and 10 say, and he takes his horses and his chariots. Now, that must have been some kind of sight. You remember that Naaman is he's captain of the Syrian army. And I'm sure he was had all of these beautiful horses and these chariots. And I'm sure that was quite a sight. So he goes to Elisha's house, and Elisha sends out a messenger to Naaman. Elisha does not come out himself, but sends a messenger. And the messenger says, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh shall be made clean or cleansed or restored." Now Naaman gets really mad about this in verses 11 and 12. And why did he get so mad? Why did he get so upset? Well, there was probably a little bit of pride here in this. Maybe a few other things. But notice that Naaman had already thought up in his mind how the prophet was going to do this. He said, I thought the prophet would, you know, come out to me and call on the name of his God and wave his hands around over the leprosy and I'd be cured and I'd be healed. And he talks about the idea that the rivers in Damascus are much better than the Jordan River in Israel. Naaman was so mad, he started to walk away from the prophet Elisha's house. But verse 13 reveals to us that Naaman's servants tried to calm him down. And the servants say to Naaman, and they had great courage to be able to address and talk to Naaman this way. They simply ask him, he says, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Well, why won't you do just the little thing that he asked you to do to be cleansed? Just go wash and be cleansed. So verse 14 says that Naaman changed his mind and he obeys God's prophet Elisha. So Naaman goes to the Jordan River and he dips seven times. And the text says that Naaman's flesh was healed, he was cleansed, and became like a little child's skin. Well, again, I think that's a very familiar story to especially the adults. But what are the lessons we can learn from this? Well, here's just a few things that I thought about, and I think there are more points and that you can think of and talk to your children and as a family study together about it. But one is, you know, even great men must do exactly what God said in order to be healed or saved. If we were talking to President Trump and we studied with him the Bible, what would God ask of President Trump? Well, because he is the president and he's one of the most famous men in the world, would God expect less of him in obedience to his word than he does me or you? Well, no. This lesson shows us that even great men must do exactly what God says to do. A second thing is this little Jewish girl, she wasn't bitter. She wasn't angry at her master. Now, I'm not saying she hadn't been, that she wasn't sorrowful at some point or mourned at some point when she was taken captive. Maybe she didn't have a very good life even in Israel. And maybe her being captured and taken to Naaman's house and she is waiting now on Naaman's wife, maybe she's got a lot better now. I don't know. The text doesn't tell us that. But what we do understand and what we do learn about this little girl is how great her heart is and that she loved her enemy. Now, I think that point needs to be emphasized is that Syria and Israel were at war with each other and they were enemies. But she helped her enemy. You know, what a beautiful thing about little folks. They can do so much for Jesus too. And by telling others how Jesus can save them. And I think that's a real important point, parents, that you need to make with your children. Being a child of God and being a servant of God and doing what's right, it's not just for old folks, it's for young folks too. And this little Jewish girl, she did a great thing for Naaman. Third point is that it didn't cost Naaman one penny to be healed. Naaman was willing to pay a lot to be healed. But God's grace is free. It's a gift even today. Yet it did cost Naaman his pride. He humbly did what God told him to do, and he was healed. The same is true today. We must humbly do what God tells us to do. And pride can keep us from being or doing what we should be doing. A fourth point would be, Naaman got really mad at what God wanted him to do. But you know what? Here's an important point. Just getting mad about what God wants us to do doesn't change God's command. And I'm sure a number of you have studied the Bible with folks and they got mad. They got upset. They didn't like what God's word was saying to them. Maybe it went against their parents, or maybe it went against their children, or maybe against their spouse or their friends. Maybe it just, they just didn't like what they were hearing. Well, Naaman didn't either. He didn't like what was being told to him that he had to do in order to be cleansed. But getting mad about it didn't change anything. He still had to do what God commanded him to do if he was going to be cleansed. A fifth thing is, what did it really take for Naaman to be healed of his leprosy? Well, what did it really take? Well, first and primarily, I think it's obvious in the text that it was God's power and His grace. There's no doubt about that. Secondly, the human messengers working as God's servants to tell God's message were certainly important to this story. Thirdly, Naaman, he heard the message. And then he had to believe it. Now, he got mad about it, but then he repented of that, didn't he? He changed his attitude. He humbled himself. Then he had to dip 7 times in the Jordan. Not 2, not 4, not 6, but 7 times. Then he was cleansed. So a fourth thing I'd like you to consider, did Naaman deserve this healing? Did Naaman earn this healing? Was Naaman healed by faith only? Was there really any great healing power in the water? Did Naaman have to do exactly what God, through the prophet Elisha, said to do? Now, parents, in talking to your children about this, I think answering these questions and talking to them about the answers to these questions are very, very important. And if you understand, and I'm sure you do, try to help your children to understand this great Old Testament historical event. And if they understand this story, they can understand God's plan for saving man today of the leprosy of sin that is on our souls. And I'd like to encourage you, mom and dads, to discuss this with your children, to teach this to your children, and may God bless you and your children to learn some of these great lessons that we see in the Old Testament that were written aforetime for our learning. Thank you for your time today. May God bless you.